Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking with Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries, about the Brian Walsh case, the murder of his wife, Anna Walsh. He's obviously accused of that. He's now admitted to lying to investigators and concealing the body, but not the murder. That is a bridge too far. Never mind all these Google searches about disposing of bodies, cutting them up, going to Home Depot, buying hacksaws, cleaning materials, all of these things. None of that. Yes, that happened, but the reasoning, the motive is this. It's not possibly that. And intelligence is a big thing here. And we obviously we see a bit of his track record with trying to sell the fake Warhols. This guy is a con man. This seems to be his modality in life is conning people. So you got that as the backdrop of all this. And that was even brought up into court the other day, in opening, I believe, where they did mention about the Warhols. So that's in there. The jury does know about his con man past. Add that to the mix. This is not painting a very strong picture of a man who just simply panicked. I mean, panic is emotional, panic is messy, panic is reactive, but the conduct here, the multiple stores, the different towns, the cash purchases, masks, It looks organized. Let me ask you on that, and this is just conjecture on how you're looking at this. Do you think he planned the death of his wife, the unaliving, the murder, if in fact it is murder? Or do you think this was very much something happened? Maybe it was accidental. Maybe it was heat of the moment and anger. But something happened at his hands, and this is just how stupid the guy is, that he didn't think any of this through and literally just made it 10 times worse than it needed to be, because it was kind of a, oh, shit, I really wasn't planning on killing her today. I wonder if he was ever really planning on killing her, or if this just heat of the moment, and now they're dealing with the aftermath.
Yeah, it's hard to know in terms of... the evidence that exists does not suggest that it was premeditated beyond, you know, the time frame that we are aware of, right?
Unhappy, but not necessarily evidence of a murder.
Right. Well, I mean, and the defense's opening was really of kind of the mindset that, look, this was a happily married couple. Now, we know, obviously, Anna's deep, deep into an affair, okay, with another guy. That she's traveling and meeting. Like, I mean, she's deep, deep into this thing. So the defense is trying to say that he was unaware of that, that from his perspective, that they were in a happy marriage, that he couldn't live without her. You know, that there's nothing that exists that shows that they were not happy, at least from Brian's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That he was under the impression that she loved him. He loved her. They're putting up like text messages that he brings up during opening, like, you know, how do all these text messages where they're talking about the kids and just general things like, I love you back. You know, that for like on the surface, it appears that they're a loving couple. So you have to think from that perspective, they're not going to be able to show premeditation.
Mm-hmm.
If they are, again, it's something that we're not aware of. So, but they don't really care at this point, you know, like, the murder is the murder is the murder. And again, premeditation, as we've talked about during other cases, can be formed in 30 seconds. It doesn't have to be weeks or days or hours prior to. It can happen almost immediately. Or as you said, they get in a fucking giant argument in the heat of the moment, and he chokes her out and he's like, oh my God, what did I do? You know, and then he goes about doing all the nasty business that he does after the fact. You know, I think that the reality, and you had put, I think it was Gen Z's comment up, and it's exactly right. Like if your loved one, somebody that you love deeply, who is your soulmate, you come back to the bedroom and you find that person not breathing. Okay. The only reasonable thing that to do is to call fucking 911.
Yep.
And say my wife isn't breathing. Please come help. Nobody on that jury is going to believe for one fucking second that this guy came back from cleaning the kitchen from a three-person party, finds his wife not breathing, and then decides that the best course of action is not to call 911 to try to help revive her, but instead, well, Jesus, how am I going to get rid of her body? Like, no,
and
no
I need to clean this up. Yeah, I need to go to Home Depot and get cleaning supplies because clearly we're out. You know, well, I need to get
exactly.
And then add into the mix, you got kids.
Yes.
This isn't just like some fling or something. You don't barely know each other. There's not emotional attachment. There is. There's years of marriage. There's children. There's a family. And the idea that I'm so fearful they're going to go after me for her death that I'm going to completely just make her disappear into the ether, and the kids will never know what happened, but I'll know what happened. Like, this is all okay. This is normal. This is something that he's going to be able to live with. I don't know. I mean, maybe he probably could have been able to live with it. He seems to have a very interesting way of thinking in the way that he handles dealing with other folks out there in the world. Lying doesn't seem to be that big of a hurdle for him. But to think that this is going to be the strategy, I mean, I think the craziness of it is to think that he thought that at that moment, even. I'm going to guess this idea of claiming, she just died, you know, miraculously, sudden unexplained death. I'm going to guess that didn't enter the equation till further down the line. I don't know that it was going through his mind right away when he found her dead. And I put that in air quotes.
Right.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Here's what makes this case like interesting. And again, we don't know all the evidence that the state has, but we know who does know all of the evidence that the state has is Tipton, his lawyer. Yeah. So again, hearkening back to the concept, I'm assuming that they do not have any evidence of her being killed upstairs. Number one, because they don't have the body. And number two, because forensically, they didn't find anything that would show that this took place upstairs. And again, I guess they could try to tell that story that you say, I was going to chop her up upstairs and then realize midway, as soon as I took her arm off, that this is a bad idea. I should go do this in the fucking basement or the bathtub, whatever. Mm-hmm. I guess they could say that, but I'm going to assume that they don't have that type of evidence in terms of him doing something upstairs. They didn't find any blood spatter anywhere. They didn't find it on the walls. They didn't find a speck anywhere, meaning that, either a blunt force trauma may not have happened where he struck her in the head violently, or he used a knife or the hatchet, whatever, that there's nothing, he shot her. There's no evidence of that taking place upstairs, which would lead you to believe that that he would have killed her probably by asphyxiation or, again, smothering her with a pillow, something of that nature, right? Mm-hmm. So that there was no blood left up there. The other part of it that's interesting, though, is that you have that lack of evidence from the state's perspective in terms of how she died. Mm-hmm. But what you also might be missing, which, again, we don't know if it exists. I have no idea if it exists, is this guy is on house arrest, okay? He's not able to tail her, okay? Mm-hmm. So even if he suspects she's having an affair, he's not able to follow her around and solidify it. We don't have any evidence that he hired a PI to follow her around. So the question then becomes, since they've gone through all the devices, typically you're going to find some text messages between husband and wife wherein he's saying, I can't fucking believe you did this to me. I know you're cheating on me a bit. Like, is there going to be evidence that he was aware of the affair?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because they're sitting there saying in opening, and I'm talking about the defense, he's not aware of it. And again, Tipton knows all the evidence. So that's another kind of fact that exists, or lack of a fact that exists, that kind of plays into the defense's theory that, again, you're going to have to not be able to use that motive of he knew of the affair because they couldn't prove it. They could not prove that he was aware that she was having the affair. So you're going to have to, and this is what Tipton would argue in terms of closing argument. Forget that. They didn't prove that. They cannot prove that my client knew that his wife was having an affair. So that's not the motive. Now, what are they going to lean into next? Are they going to lean into the life insurance policy because he needed to pay this $425,000 in restitution on the federal case? He needed the money. Is that why he did it? And they're going to be able to say, okay, well, they have no evidence that he was going into her accounts, that he knew that she had this kind of money, that she had $117,000 in her own private equity fund. So there are challenges for the state in this thing where, again, if you get one juror that's like, okay, I'm hearing what these doctors are saying. You've got three or four doctors that are up here testifying that this is something that does happen, as rare and unusual as it may be, but people do die suddenly without explanation. And everything that they found in terms of Google searches really does only relate to him dismembering the body.
Yeah.
Maybe it's possible that she wasn't. He was just a fucking idiot in the moment. He did the wrong thing. We can't sit here and judge how people react to trauma. It's a super bizarre story, man, but
what I'm most interested in hearing, I think, in this, that's, I think, going to tell us a lot, and seeing, is going to be the digital footprint between Brian and his mom. and his mom and this private investigator that she allegedly hired, and the private investigator in general. Because that, I think, is going to answer the question as to how much he knew or suspected about an affair going on. And then also his thinking, the way he was feeling about it. If your mom is getting involved and you're 40 some years old and right. Mom is the one that's hiring the PI to trail your wife and this sort of stuff, that's an unhealthy relationship.
It has like, a little Adelson feel to it, doesn't it?
A little weird. It feels like Adelson-y. Like Brian. Yeah. Adelson-y. Like Brian might've been told a few too many times that, oh, you get a gold star too. You get a blue ribbon no matter what. And I think he may have taken that into heart into an adult life. That, I think, is going to be very telling in terms of his mindset, and maybe even more revealing than just his mindset, his own words about how he's feeling about his wife. And if there are any of those utterances, and maybe not even in the moment of, you know, I hate her, I want her dead, or, but just those things that people say in anger and frustration, what that is going to reveal about the mindset, because the PI was hired just before the murder took place or the death took place or however this happened took place. That is going to be very telling.
Yeah, 100%. And that goes back to what I was just saying. And Gen Z keeps talking about it in chat. The reality of the situation is he would be bombarding her with texts. There would be evidence. Now, the problem is with text messages is that if they got them through subpoena through the carrier, the phone carrier, they only keep the content of the text messages for so long, right? But this would seem to be within that time frame in terms of when she disappears, and by the time law enforcement is like, okay, we're subpoenaing shit, theoretically, they would have those if those texts are going back and forth. Now, in terms of the mom hiring the PI, I was not aware of that. Is that like a thing that actually happened?
Yeah. That's.
Where do we know that from?
According to the prosecution filings in late December of 2022, just days before she vanished, Brian's mother, with what prosecutors say was his input and discretion, hired a PI to surveil Anna in Washington, D.C., where she worked. That's from the Boston Globe. The stated purpose was to investigate infidelity, according to ABC News, and the private investigator contract and subsequent PI testimony. They're going to be part of the evidence that prosecutors are planning to bring on here. So that PI hire, the suspicion of the affair is going to go to that motive of he did suspect allegedly that there was an affair going on, and to what depth, I think that's going to be very telling, and what the PI is going to be able to say is going to be very telling.
When was it? Yeah. See, I'm coming into this trial, watching this trial right from the get, like without having, like I'm watching the trial to see what evidence they have.
Yeah.
So forget all the other shit. I mean, theoretically, I assume the state is going to put the PI on to testify. So like they're not going to have to rely on records. They're going to talk directly to the PI. The PI doesn't have some kind of privilege with anybody. The PI is going to have to come on and say, okay, well, this is what I discovered. And this is what I relayed to the family. This is what I relayed to, you know, Brian's mother and Brian. You know,
and we don't even know how far the PI even got either, because it was hired right before this took place. So it might have just been, hey, we hired, here's what mom said, or you know, and here's what we're doing. Here's our agreement. But that's gonna be really telling.
Let's flesh that out again. Cause remember, like I watched some of the pretrial stuff, but it was more recent. It was like from the motion in limine's on. So again, you know who knows all the evidence is Tipton, his attorney. So he is sitting there during opening statement saying that Brian didn't have knowledge, which would lead me to believe if he was aware that the PI had given photographs, say, for instance, of Anna in a you know compromising position with her lover that he has taken from outside, wherever they're staying, or walking into a hotel together hand in hand, or sitting in the bar of the hotel snuggling.
Or was it just suspicion at that moment? Because again, I don't know how far the PI even got other than being hired. So it may have just been, and that may be, Tipton's statement may be completely accurate of he didn't know that there was an affair. There may have been suspicion, but right. he didn't have the hard evidence, because I don't think he ever did get that far with any sort of hard evidence with the PI, but certainly the suspicion seemed to be there, and this would certainly back up that suspicion. Or was it more suspicion on the part of Mom? If Mom's the one who's hiring the PI, what sort of involvement did Brian have? That could be very beneficial to Brian in a way, mm-hmm. if you get a text string or something going back between Mom and son, Mom going, I think she's having an affair. I'm going to look into this for you. And he's saying, nah, I don't, that doesn't need to happen. That could be there too. And that could actually work in favor of Brian, depending on what that is, what it all reveals to be.
Yeah. And I mean, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of potential motive, mm-hmm. it's there. If they don't have evidence that Brian knew, mm-hmm. then, which again, now that you're mentioning that this PI exists, I mean, if he takes the stand, you know, that is going to be, you know, even as Tipton might be very careful in terms of what he'll get into on direct, the judge is going to allow the state to question him as to whether or not he had knowledge that his mother hired this PI, mm-hmm. whether or not he was reporting back to just his mother or to Walsh. They're going to be able to get into that kind of stuff. Because that motive, more than anything, is incredibly powerful. So, you know, and if they have any way that they're going to be able to prove it, you know, the judge is going to allow that kind of questioning if he takes mm-hmm. a stand. And if Tipton knows that that shit's out there, that plays against that concept mm-hmm. of you putting your guy on the stand, you know, mm-hmm. and in this situation, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't type situation, because you have to kind of put him on the stand in order for him to explain what his thought process was in terms of when he decided to do what he did, ultimately, in terms of disposing of her body the way that he did.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. So yeah, it's a pretty interesting trial. It really is. You know,
Gen Z just had made a comment there that I saw that I agree with, because I was thinking of this too. It says, I also think that the motive isn't the extramarital affair. The wife knew he had the art fraud, mm-hmm. and maybe he was worried she was going to expose him. And that's what this reads to me too. This doesn't necessarily read to me of anger of you're cheating on me. I just, for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to strike me on this one. I think it's more so fear that she's going to expose him for not just the art fraud, but every, God knows what else.
Whatever else is hiding under the,
this guy's story. Yep. Because she holds all the cards. Wait, but expose him
to who?
To anything else that he could be exposed for.
He'd already fled out.
But I'm wondering if there's more stuff. I'm wondering if it's one of those things where if they got into some sort of messy divorce proceeding and there was questions about custody of the kids.
Oh, so you're Murdoching the fuck out of this case.
Kind of. I guess I am. I guess. I think he was sitting there. This is my conjecture. I think he thought, I have so much to lose if she leaves me. Not only like his only financial support, the kids, everything, but also the one person who did stand by him for God knows why, for how long. Mm-hmm. What else does she know? What other skeletons are in the closet that could come out in those other areas that he was not willing to be exposed on? Because we all know the last thing and the worst damn thing in the world to a narcissist is exposure.
Bingo.
And that's the card she held.
Well, like putting aside the narcissistic aspect of it, just the potential criminal liability if he was up to more.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And if he was doing other
exposure.
Shit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That thing, and that is definitely a Murdoch thing. Like that. Yeah. That is kind of the concept that was behind mm-hmm. the state's theory in that case, that, you know, his wife knew way more mm-hmm. than she was supposed to know, and she was a potential problem for him.
She's a liability.
You know, and that was a thing wherein he could have said, all right, you know, as much as this pains me. But like, I've always been of the mindset that I don't think Murdoch did it himself. I think that he hired a couple of bonehead meth heads from the area to do the damn thing. I think he was in the property. I think he said, use my weapons. I'll get rid of them because I don't trust you guys because you're fucking crackheads.
Yeah.
And you know, you do it because I can't bring myself to do it. You know, because I mean, in Murdoch, when you kind of look at the family history, I think there's no question that he actually did love his wife and kid.
I agree.
You know, like I think so. So for me, you know, and people are like, oh, that's fucking crazy. I'm like, no, it's not. It's not.
No, he loved his wife and kid, but he loved himself more.
Yeah. Well, and he had a lot to hide.
Yeah.
You know, he had a lot to hide at that point.
And that's where I think this may be similar in some ways to that, where do I think he probably loved his wife and kid in a way that narcissists love? I don't think it's the type of love we think of, but there's something there. But at the end of the day, they love themselves more. And if whoever that is out there, no matter how close, no matter how much they love that person, if that person becomes a threat and they see it very much as that ship is going down and this is the only life vest I have, they're going to do whatever they need to do. And that's what I think might have been going on here. I want to talk more about the medical phenomena that they're going to try and pitch here with the defense trying to rely on this extremely rare medical phenomena. No. I know we hinted maybe they're going to try and go down the COVID route. I mean, how careful do they have to be to not overplay that hand and look like they're teaching jurors exotic trivia instead of presenting a real case?
I mean, I think they're going to have to put it out there. Like, I had never heard of it.
Yeah.
To be honest, I had never heard of
it. It seemed like it's kind of pulled out of thin air, quite honestly.
Right. I mean, I'm going to be learning along with the jury of this thing that I didn't know existed. I mean, do I, of course, know that people like kind of die suddenly?
Sure.
But yeah, typically it's like the guy had a grabber, you know,
there's an underlying something usually.
Right. Yeah. Like, you know, and for all intents and purposes, the guy, you know, jogged 8 miles a day, he fucking ate like a champion. And like, there was like, nobody was predicting this. We had no idea that he was going to have a heart attack because he seemed like a completely fit and healthy guy. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't something that we ever thought was a possibility. So, I mean, I've obviously heard of that kind of shit. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm telling you, man, like, do not at all be shocked if they lean into this thing that it was related to the COVID vaccine. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Like I came up with that, like, as I was listening to it, it popped into my head and I'm like, are they going to go there? Are they going to fucking try to go there with this thing? And, you know, if you get one dude on the jury that's like, yeah, the vaccinations are that thing. I mean, it could be a fucking thing where it actually works on one juror. I don't know, man. I don't know. But yeah, it's like there are fascinating aspects to this fucking case that just like have me sucked into it. You know, like have me wanting to watch it to see how it all plays out, because it's like we're sitting here from the outside looking in and we're all like, this shit is ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
You know, like this whole story is so whacked out that there's no way it's going to work. But if things are placed in a way that they're just right and you've got some witnesses that are experts that are going to get on the stand and yes, teach people. I mean, you like, that's the point of an expert witness, is that they're telling the jurors something that they don't know, and they're teaching them about something that they wouldn't know otherwise. You know, that's the entire point of hiring experts and it, as well as attorneys. Like, we hire experts all the time because I'm not a phone data expert. I'm a fucking lawyer. I hire experts to say, okay, I need you to look at this extraction. Tell me what's what. This is what the state's saying. It says, is there any way they could have fiddled with it? Is there any way that this wasn't actually on the device? You know, all those things. And then I'm also saying, okay, I also need you to help me question their experts. Now, we know here the state isn't going to be putting on any experts as to cause of death because they don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. You know, don't forget, this is a nobody case. So, you know, they're going to be the only ones putting on any evidence that this is what happened. Now, does that mean that the state in its rebuttal case isn't going to put their own expert on to say, okay, they brought this thing about the COVID vaccine up and we're going to put on an expert to say that that's bullshit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's going to, like, how that's going to play out. It's going to be.
That's one of those things where people, they're going to believe what they're going to believe on that.
Right.
Expert, no expert. And that's a very visceral thing with a lot of people where they're going to be dug in. So, I mean, it's going to be very fascinating to see, you know, at the end of the day, is the jury because in some cases like this, where you have some charges that are admitted to and some that are not, the jury may look at the end of the day and go, well, he's going to be away for some time no matter what because of this. So maybe we don't have to go as strong over on that because he's already getting punished over here. I wonder if that is part of the strategy at play here of, you know, best case scenario, you're in for however many years it is for lying to police and concealing hiding the body, but not the murder. And maybe we can get them to split the difference if we can play on the emotions of the COVID idea, of you overreacting, as insane as it is, as insane as the response this is. We're going to paint you as, yeah, maybe you're not the brightest, maybe you make bad decisions, but you're not a murderer.
Right.
And if you can get the one guy to get sympathetic on the COVID shit, or woman, whoever it may be, or maybe a couple, because, I mean, at this point in time, I think all of us know someone who's died of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I think all of us probably know someone who has been vaccinated and died at a younger age. Now, my point on that being, not that the COVID vaccine killed them, people fucking die. And in life, people do die at younger ages. It's correct. Usually just a few in each of our stories in our lives, but it does happen. But we always are looking for a reason and an explanation. And that happens to be one of the most convenient at this point in our history. So you get a jury of 12 people, your odds of finding some who knows or has had an experience like this that may be attributing that over there, getting sympathetic, you're right. It's not a crazy bridge too far.
I mean,
no case is a slam dunk. As much as this one seems like it could be, you just don't know.
You never know, because there is one absolute unequivocal truth about jury trials, and it's that you never know
what
a jury's going to do. Yeah. They will come back sometimes and just surprise the fuck out of you. You know, you could be like, oh man, feel as the attorney, like, we just crushed that case, and you come back, there's no way they're going to find our guy guilty, and they come back guilty.
Yep.
You know? And so you're like, what? So, and it goes both ways. So you just never know what a jury's going to do. And the fact that they found her COVID vaccination card plays right into it, because I think in terms of it being COVID itself wouldn't work, because they had a friend over on, you know, mm-hmm. New Year's Eve night, you know, he would be able to testify. Yeah, she didn't show any, so she wasn't sick. Mm-hmm. You know, but in terms of it being the vaccination itself, because there are plenty of people out there that believe that they brought that vaccination out way too fast. There was no testing done. You got athletes just dropping dead in the middle of soccer games and shit. You know, it's like, and people are like, it was a vaccination. It's a fucking COVID vaccine. All it takes is one, man. All it takes is one. And it's one of those things where if you can get over that hump, then the only other hump that you have to get over is, okay, you just got to accept the fact that my client's a moron.
Yes.
Like the dismembering the body thing, not the right thing to do.
Yeah.
But the thing that I just can't wait to see, I cannot wait to see it, is if he takes the stand and the state says, okay, so you're claiming that she was suddenly dead. Once we got you and we arrested you, why didn't you tell us where the fucking body was?
Right.
Because then we could prove up what you're saying.
Yeah.
Why didn't
that's a problem?
We still don't know where the fucking body is.
We still don't know where the fucking body is.
No. But
like, they're gonna ask him directly on cross-examination, why didn't you tell us where the body was? Because after 7 days, we're gonna still be able to do an autopsy. And we know that you didn't dismember her chest. Did you pull all of her fucking organs out, Brian? You know what I'm saying? It's like, why didn't you tell us where the body was? Because that could have proven what you were saying is actually true.
Right.
And how does he answer that question?
Because what I'm saying is bullshit.
Right.
That's the correct answer, at least in my opinion it is.
There it is.
It's going to be fascinating to see where this goes in the next couple of weeks. We'll keep watching it. Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of Defense Diaries, and the other podcast out right now, Buried.
Inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation.
There we go.
Yeah,
I forget the inside part.
Yeah,
Buried, inside the John Wayne Gacy Investigation. It is out now. Very fascinating. If you've been watching Devil in Disguise on Peacock, definitely, if you want to go deeper into this and really see what was going on there. Way, way, way deeper. You got to check it out. And you also, on Defense Diaries, you just had Chernus on, didn't you?
Yeah, we just had Chernus on. It was a great interview. He was fun. Sweet guy, you know, because I met him on our show when we did an interview of Patrick McManus. So if you guys haven't checked that out over here, make sure you check that out. Patrick McManus, the showrunner, and Chernus sat down with us, and we got to have a great conversation with those guys.
Check those out over on Defense Diaries. Great stuff. All right, Bob, thank you so much. Until next time, for Bob, Stacy, and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Ugh, fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook, you know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news. It doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk. And maybe, after all of that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way. Thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all of your recurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something is coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap. Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right here,
right now. It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.